This is Heart of Mind, Radio for the New Millennium. I'm Catherine Davis, and today my guest is Sergio Magaña, founder of Centro Energetico Integral and author of The Dawn of the Sixth Sun. He is a well-known and respected healer who has been initiated into the 5,000-year-old Toltec lineage of Mesoamerica. He lives in Mexico City. Welcome back, Sergio, to Heart of Mind and also back to New York.
Yeah, thank you, Kathy. Such a pleasure to be back. I'm so thankful with you because now that you did the presentation, I was remembering this was like one of my first radio shows that I did in English and in the U.S., then many others came, but I always remember you like my godmother of radio. Yes. In English.
Yes, it's wonderful because you bring a great deal of insight over the years that has really helped me a lot in work and in my life because you are teaching from a very ancient lineage that has gone through many civilizations, I would say, even before being transmitted to the Toltec traditions. Can you start by speaking a little bit about this whole lineage and history that leads to what you teach?
Yeah, of course. What I teach, of course, it is named in the world, because after the first, the book that you named, The Dawn of the Sixth Sun, I did others like Toltec Secret and like that. But that is because it's like, I think, the more commercial worldwide name. But the Toltec wisdom and that comes from what we called the Nahuatl is a language. So the Nahuatl cultures were many. So at least they started in the Chichimecas, that were nomadic groups. Then they founded the Teotihuacans, the ones that built the Sun and Moon Pyramids. Then the Cacaxtla people, then Xochicalcas. Then came the Toltecs that refined all this knowledge. And finally the Aztecs that had like a recapitulation of all the other cultures. And then it was transmitted when the conquest happened orally from teacher to student. But nowadays, it's completely free. And there are still like 2 million people that are now speaking. Of course, now the pure lineages have been combined with the Catholic Church. So they practice like kind of syncretism between Catholicism and the ancient times. What I teach, I try not to mix with the Catholic things. I was very lucky to find some teachers that were keeping lineages that were transmitted from master to student that kept like the ancient tradition pure.
Excellent. And There are a variety of teachers and priests and priestesses and people who practice these traditions, but also I'm sure that there are many Mexicans who seek to learn more about their own heritage, just as anyone here would want to know more about their indigenous heritage.
There are many. The thing, it's very strange. A lot of the people that practice like the tradition, that they consider that they are practicing the ancient roots, they are focused mainly in sweating lodges, in the ceremonies and the dances. A lot of the cosmology and of course about healing with plants and that is what is practiced by many people. But a lot of the cosmology, the ancient way of looking things and of dreaming and other things like obsidian mirror, we are very, very few. And actually it happened that after the conquest in Mexico, the Spaniards made like feel like that collective thought that being indigenous was like it happened in your country, like low class or something bad and like that. So a lot of people was rejecting this and trying to look as blonde as they could or try to Americanize their or European or to look European to have the culture. But I have seen and I'm very, very happy about that, especially in the past like 5-7 years that a lot of people is turning back and saying, why? Probably we had something that was really worth it here before the conquest. And especially that I'm very happy, I see it a lot. That's why I love to go to work in the States, in the Mexican Latins or that they live in the United States. They are really embracing the ancient culture.
Mm-hmm. And this is also true of many people here who have identified as Black people or African American people, that we're coming to realize that we have these traditional roots connected both here in the Americas as well as in the African continent. And they really resonate towards each other because it speaks to a time when the earth was populated by many peoples, really, who connected to the earth and to the stars and to a different kind of understanding of reality. And as you speak of dream time, we can look at the Australian people, and dream time is a very big part of their Aboriginal culture. And I think that as we go forward, we are all reaching into this ancient knowledge from the various indigenous or Aboriginal people of the earth, because I believe that there is a message there for everyone, no matter who we are or what culture we were born into, that this is just information that we could use to better our lives and better the world. So with that said, maybe you can speak a little bit to that with the teachings that you're bringing to New York. You're going to be doing energetic healing of Mexico, that's its big title, then Psychic Surgery and the Obsidian Wand, and another workshop that's going to be on a one-day workshop on Friday, and then in the evening on Friday, February 1st, it'll be Quetzalcoatl, the Climbing Serpent, Kundalini Energy to Heal the Chakras, and then will be followed by a two-day workshop, Palladian Initiation and the Eight Bands of Healing, Awakening the Powers of Manifestation and the Ability to Heal. So this is something of a revelation to me. I'm familiar with your work with the Obsidian Mirror, but to be able to use this in an active healing way to me is fresh and really important. And I have to say, as much as I understand Quetzalcoatl and the serpent and that relationship to the Kundalini, I didn't know that that was part of the understanding in the Aztec teachings. And I'm curious to understand the connection to the Palladian civilization. So we've got a lot to go into. I'm not sure where to start, so I'll let you start where you think is the best place.
Yeah, actually, thank you, Kathy. And actually, I was doing another interview last week for a podcast, the first one that I do for Australia. And it was like Joseph, a very nice guy that he comes from Fiji, and he remembers some of his ancestral knowledge because of his family. But also he was telling me about the Aborigines' practices and that they also had this connection with the Pleiades. And that's very common in the Celts, the Hawaiian, here the Mexicans and like that. And actually, that was like an initiation that that a lady that is named Xochicoatl some years ago did to me. That was very strange because she went with one of my teachers to my office. She saw one of my pictures and she said, "He's the one that is going to carry what I learned from my teacher." Her teacher was named Regina, about the Pleiades to the world. And actually, they were calling me to my house that it was my free day, like, a lady from the tradition wants to see you. And I was saying, no, it's my free day, I'm busy, these kind of things. And actually, they told me, if you don't come, she won't leave. And I said, okay, I'll go. And then she told me that there was like a legend about a lady that was teaching in the 60s that came from Tibet but was Mexican, and that was teaching to open like the sacred wisdom from America. And she told me that she studied with her and she was going to make an initiation for me that was to open like certain spots in my back and some in my hands. And she told me that there were spots connected to the Pleiades. And that was quite interesting because she told me what we know, like the traditional chakras, that of course in the tradition were named chakras, but I am using that word because it's the one that is known worldwide. We call them Totonalcayos, that means like heat spot. And actually, she said that those ones took the energy from the sun, and those ones were the ones that we were using when we were awake. And the other spots, the ones that are in your back, and that they took the energy from the moon and from the Pleiades and the stars. And those ones are the ones that we use when we are sleeping. That for me was a complete new information. And actually, she opened like these spots, and actually, I began dreaming a lot more conscious. And then I learned how to fall asleep, like switching off my personality and the traditional chakras or Totonalcayos, and switching on the one of the Pleiades. And it's amazing because it's like, and she said that normally, like, that's why people don't remember their dreams and that, because what we have in front, that would be like the normal spots, is what we can see. And it, yeah, they are related to this reality. But what we have in the back, we cannot see it because we don't have these eyes or these spots opened. So, and after that, it became so beautiful because it's like programming using this like Nahualcayotls or your dreaming body in your back to heal your waking life, to change the way that you dream, to heal your family also through dreams, to create dreams that that help the earth, and also to offer yourself, if it's possible, to help anyone that you could, not everyone, but someone that you could, and it's possible, during your dreams. So the Pleiadian initiation actually marked one level more in my dreaming practice, and in the lineage that I had been practicing before. It was like a complete new information, and I have been using it for years. And to see, because actually the Australian guy, he was telling me that the connection with the Aborigines in their dreams with the Pleiades, and that was also very, very deep. I like that. So I think we come from a common source, and that it is spread in different worlds, in different cultures, and that now is the time, like the last Aztec ruler said, keep our wisdom, because with the sixth sun, that is the new period that we are opening, it's going to be needed. So all these dreaming practices, all this connection, like you said, with the stars, with the moon, and with the earth, are needed. So in order that we can collaborate to create a better world. So that is the first thing about the Pleiades and what I'm going to be teaching in the New York Open Center this weekend. And I think it's fascinating. It's fascinating because I haven't heard about that in any other culture. About I have heard, of course, that there were chakras in our back, but I have never heard that we are using the normal ones when we are awake, and the other ones when we are sleeping. And if we activate them, then you can have like a lot of more awareness of the other existence that happen 8 hours each day.
Yes, and I think that, like you said, it's the dream time is where we can have the most impact on transforming our life or our health or our civilization, because that's where the reality we experience originates, in that more subtle reality of the dream time. Is that correct?
Yeah, for ourselves, for the tradition. It's very interesting because we call tonal. Tonal comes from a Nahuatl word that is tonatiuh, the sun. So when we are in the tonal, is who we are with the sunlight. So for example, now I'm talking with you in my tonal, but they called this Sergio that is speaking with you only the one that you are with the sunlight. But the other Nahual, that is our energetic body that we use for dreaming, it was called Nahual, that comes from Newa. Newa is I, who I am really. So they were naming the Nahual, or the dreaming body, like the real me, the real I, and the other one just the one that you are awake. And actually for us, the one, the real I, is creating this second me that is talking with you. So to be able to create your life through dreams, is amazing. Mm. It's amazing, and I have experienced that so many times.
That is pretty amazing, and I think we all do create our life through our dreams. It's just that we're having nightmares, so our lives are turning into kind of distorted lives sometimes. Let me ask you about the Palladian connection to the ancient traditions. Are there any outward signs or indications in the culture that there's this connection to the Palladians?
For example, for us in the Aztec calendar, if you see the outer ring, that is very famous, and there is a lot of misunderstanding around the world, because many times when you Google Mayan calendar, the one that appears is the Aztec one, the one that is with the sun, with a tongue, that is not a tongue, it's a flint, but people look at it like a tongue. And if you see that, the sun stone, the outer ring represents two serpents that they have a human head. And every time that you have a serpent with human head, that represents Quetzalcoatl, the precious knowledge, the rising serpent. And then it has like the copili. The copili means like the feathers. And in those feathers, there are like seven small balls, and then it has like an earring that is bigger. So for the tradition, that means that our son, those serpents represent the long count, that is of 26,500 years. So and why are that seven small balls and the big one? That is representing our sun, that according to the ancient astronomical culture, our sun is giving a spin around the Pleiades that lasts 26,500 years. That is what the Egyptians named precession of equinoxes, and that would make our solar system a part of the Pleiadian system. And that is what is mainly the connection with the Pleiades.
Thank you for that. And what will this two-day workshop entail, the Pleiadian initiation and the eight bands of healing, awakening the powers of manifestation and the ability to heal? It's a two-day workshop, Saturday and Sunday, February 2nd and 3rd, at the New York Open Center for people who want to check it out. But what will people learn in these 2 days?
Of course, we will do like the initiation, first of all. Like what Xochiquautli, that was the name of this lady, did for me, to open the spots. And then how to do healings with that in your awake, like how to get like the energy. For example, the third one is to get the Pleiadian energy to your blood. And with this connection through your blood, you can begin healing your family. The fourth Pleiade, or the fourth spot, is to get energy for a fourth Pleiade star and to heal the land, the other to heal others. That is in the waking life. And then also how to fall asleep, switching off your ancestral patterns, your heavy creations, your bad relationships, and that, everything that is in your personality, and to open the Pleiadian spots in your back to heal your life all through dreams and to manifest. So it's quite fascinating.
Yeah, it sounds very powerful to be able to. It's almost as if we are taking ourselves. We have all the tools or capacity within our being to move through all of these awakened states, but there needs to be some kind of teaching or initiation process to help us so that we can access these things. And so I think that's a very valuable opportunity for all of us to be able to do that. For me, this is somewhat new information, but it just seems to make so much sense that if there are these openings in the front, that there's going to be also in the back. And you know, the idea of the sun and the moon, it makes so much sense, especially when I look at the pyramids and I see the sun period and the pyramid and the moon pyramid, and I have to wonder if some of these sites, these ancient sites, are connected to this tradition of these awakenings that the people participated in as a culture. So,
yeah, we are split in two, because actually we spent 8 hours at least, or some people less, but more an average, sleeping, and we are alive. People try to modern people not to give importance to this part, but it's so precious. It's where you are creating your waking life. Actually, there was a Teotihuacan phrase that is very strong, but it was said, the one that doesn't work and remember with his or her dreams is like a living death, because has no control of his waking state. So after that, in the beginning, I didn't believe it complete. I said, okay, it's very important what you eat, what you do, what you thinking like that. And then my teacher told me once, but all of that depends on what you dream. And then when I began doing my first step-by-step, my dream recall, and then lucidity and like that, then I saw it's exactly how I dream is how I live. And that is why in many languages it's always hidden, like the girl of your dreams, the house of your dreams, your worst nightmare, and like that. It's because you dreamt it before, and then it came. Mm.
Yeah, that's pretty powerful. And I'd like to talk for a minute about the class you're doing on Quetzalcoatl, the climbing serpent, Kundalini energy to heal the chakras. Now, all of us know from other traditions that the Kundalini is represented as the serpent, but Quetzalcoatl is a, to me, feels like a bigger or more complex idea, but maybe not. What do you say?
Yeah, okay. Quetzalcoatl is a level of knowledge, first of all. There was in the ancient Mexico not only a Quetzalcoatl, Quetzalcoa, people that developed the precious knowledge. So first of all, it's a level of knowledge. The problem was when the conquistadors came, Teotl in Nahuatl is energy, and they were confused about that energy, they name it after like the Greek root god. So they began putting it like the god of the feathered serpent. And because in certain cultures they drew like a mixture, like a sphinx, but without a human face, that we call them alebrije, a mixture between the serpent and a quetzal. But quetza, the verb, means rising, and coatl, the serpent, the rising serpent. So actually, the Quetzalcoatl practice that were one of the many disciplines of the Quetzalcoa of the past was similar to Kundalini, to be able to rise the serpent, but our Totonalcayos that are very similar to the chakras, but they are in different parts sometimes and they rule different things, to begin to go to move you from your ancestral patterns, your heavy creations, from your astrology, to your flowering, to recover the power, and then to move you to lucidity in your dreams, and then even to super lucidity, and to release all winds like the world in which the ancient Mexicans describe what nowadays is known like as karma. So it is a technique that is done by breathing, and that actually at the end you exit like the feathered serpent, and you go to the sun to conquer your greatest destiny.
So that's pretty cool. And that's going to be on Friday from 7 to 9 p.m., the Quetzalcoatl, the climbing serpent. And during the day on Friday, you're going to be teaching a class on energetic healing of Mexico, psychic surgery, and the obsidian wand. Maybe you can start by telling people about obsidian and why that's important.
Obsidian for us, in the tradition, it was like the element that represents the Tezcatlipoca. Tezcatlipoca is the smoking mirror. Tezcatlipoca is the represents the unconscious, the one that gives you everything, the one that takes from you everything. So, to heal with obsidian, for example, there are phrases like nothing escapes obsidian. So, in a psychic surgery or astral surgery, that is what I'm going to teach, we're going to transfer any health issue or any emotional issue to an object that in this case it could be clay, Play-Doh, or it can be clay, or it can be something like that. And then to begin taking out the energy of the bad energy that is creating the issue of the people. And then with the wand, you are going to actually, in the Play-Doh or in the clay or like that, we use like that word to kill the problem, death for the ancient Mexicans was a big change, not exactly like the physical death. To kill the problem and then with obsidian, ask then, because then you bury that, to ask the Mother Earth to keep doing the healing. We have had amazing results with that, for so many things. For example, if some people speak Spanish, in my Spanish Facebook now, because I'm teaching this in Mexico in 2 days, and then in 1 week I will be teaching it in the U.S., in New York. So there are many testimonials of people that have done psychic surgeries or astral surgeries with that technique with me in Mexico, and the amazing results they have achieved.
Well, that sounds amazing. I did work with you when you were here teaching about the obsidian mirror, and I found it to be an extremely powerful tool, because it does, for me, I experience it as a bridge, you know, like so that I can move into that space that would otherwise be invisible to me. So I don't know if that's a good way of explaining it, but that's how I have experienced the mirror. So I think that this is going to be a very interesting class as well. So for people who are interested in taking this opportunity, you can go to the Open Center, opencenter.org, and register for the classes. And our guest today is Sergio Magaña, and that's Magana. And let me see if I could get your name correctly. Ocelocoyotl.
Ocelocoyotl. You were almost there, Katy.
Ocelocoyotl. And he is founder of Centro Energetico Integral and author of many books, including The Dawn of the Sixth Sun. And I have your website here as sergiomagana.com. Oh, that's your website, sergiomagana.com, so people can find out more about all the work that you do. And you don't come to New York or to the United States all that often, so I consider it a rare opportunity when you do make your way to this region of the world, and I'm really happy to see you teaching again at the New York Open Center.
the beauty we love be what we do. Don't go back to sleep.
We have more time, and I want to go a little bit deeper into some of the things that you're teaching. If you would like to, I'm interested in knowing about the work that you're doing as a whole, overall, in Mexico, in New York, in Europe. I know that you teach and travel all over the world, and there was a time when you were working with the heritage sites in Mexico. If you're still doing that, I'd like to hear about that as well. But in general, what is it like to be Sergio Magaña?
Let's start for the beginning. In the beginning, I was just working here in Mexico. I had like the opportunity to be host of a radio show. It was about the Mexican tradition, it was about energy. I also was interviewing people about other traditions and that. And then, like, the adventure started, like the international adventure and everything, because one of my teachers, my first teacher of the Mexican tradition, of dreaming of the Mexican tradition, used to hear them. The show, and then he said, "Okay." He said that hearing the voice, he said he's the one that is going to bring the other lady, my lineage to the world. So he began coming to some workshops that we were doing with the radio show, and then he told me, "I didn't come to teach you. I didn't come to learn anything. I came to teach you." So, in the beginning, I said, yes. But then he insisted so much, and when we spent some time together, he explained me all the mathematics of the Aztec calendar, the long count, what I recently told you, and all these things. And then I said, okay, yeah, he came to teach me, and he began teaching me once a week. And then he introduced me, his other friend, Charlotte, that taught me the tall lineage that has been passed from dreaming from thousands of years from master to student. And then he told me after the eclipse of 2010, in July of 2010, this wisdom is going to be spread in the world. You will be one of the first. And actually, it's their information, not mine. And then he told me, you will start by Italy. And I was invited to a convention of Andean shamanism just to talk about healing before that eclipse, or just after, I don't remember exactly. And then it was full of Italians. And then they invited me to give a small talk in Milano. And there was the publisher of my first book, The Dawn of the Sixth Sun. And she told me, your book is for yesterday. And I said, which book? And she told me, the one that you're going to write. And actually, she was with me writing like that first book, like 10 days. We did it in 10 days with all the classes that I have done with Hugo and with Charlotte for years. And it was a huge success in Italy. From there, I was invited to London. And because Hugo told me, you're going to the UK. And then the publisher from Hay House UK invited me to do other book that was a Toltec secret. Then I came to one and said, how did you know how was going to be my life, actually? I always tell to Hugo, you saw my life and my destiny before I even saw it. He told me because it was like that. We think like the destruction of our culture was done by the Spaniards, but it's not, because it was done in the name of the Catholic God, and the place was Italy, where the Vatican was. And then the other half of the indigenous culture were repressed by the English. So if we're going to share, that is going to be the path, Italy, the UK, and then the world. And it happened to me. And then I began traveling and traveling and traveling and doing books and Hungary and this and that. In the first time, because I didn't look for that, I was very quite comfortable with my radio show, with my family, with everything here. So it was, a heavy task in the beginning, because I was adapting myself to a different language, to different people almost every week, to interviews, to everything. And many times I thought about leaving this and just going back to Mexico and things like that. But now if I see it from some years, I have met the most wonderful people around the world. I have seen that in from Sweden to Mexico to Russia to everything, that we are just one, that it's an illusion, the differences. And I'm very proud too, because now I know that many of the news from Mexico are just about narco and illegal immigration and everything. To put a little bit of the other side, of the great side of our ancient cultures, of which I'm really, really proud. And so now I can say that I'm really happy, and that I'm blessed. I'm blessed to be sharing this information around the world. With so many people blessing me. That is not because of the blessings, but because of the changes they have, and I like that. And so I think it was my destiny, because I wanted to be an actor. And even now I have met celebrities from Hollywood, because I have been training them. And then when I see sometimes the life, I said, okay, no, it wasn't for me. It was for me to be teaching, not to be an actor. So,
I totally agree with that.
Yeah. But now I see it. When I was young, I really wanted to be an actor. But I think life put me in my exact place.
Yeah. And also, can you speak a little bit about that first book in terms of the changes and the space we are now? Because I think it's many people realize that we have bridged that space where we are at the dawn of the sixth sun, that period where we're learning to make this transition. Can you explain to people, based on the Aztec, Mayan calendar, however you would think of it, where we are in space-time and history?
Yeah. Like I told you, the outer ring represents the Quetzalcoatl, the long count, sorry, that is 25,500 years, or the precession of equinoxes. In the Toltec and Aztec tradition, everything is based in what we call Nahuiolin, or four movements. That is like the constant in the universe, according to the ancients, what they saw that is repeated. So the four main moments of the day, or the four phases of the moon, or solstices and equinoxes, to go to a new cycle. So in the same way, the sun, the long count, is split into four, that gives you periods of 6,625 years that are named suns. Like day and night, the suns alternate. You have one sun of the tonal, or the waking state, and you have one sun of the nahual, or the dreaming time. So we're finishing the fifth sun, that was a sun of the tonal, of the waking state. When we're awake, we're looking outside. So God is outside. The suns are very good for religions. And medicine is outside. Satisfaction. So that's why humankind needs to conquer outside many, many things. And then we're crossing through a son of the Nawal, in which we have to, like when we are sleeping, to see inside, to see our underworlds where our mind is trapped, to see our dreams, and then the responsibility of ourselves goes back inside. Also, the medicine goes inside, and we haven't even started completely, because for us the transition started in 1991. Then it reached like the highest point between with the fifth and sixth sun sharing in 2012, and now the fifth sun is being minimized, and the sixth sun is starting, but it will start by himself or itself in 2021. And actually, when I published that book, a lot of people were criticizing me because I had like other count against the one that was all over the world of the Mayan calendar that José Arguelles took to the world. And they say, no, there is no possible, there is other gap in time, you are making this up. And I said, I am not making that up. I just put the count that my teacher Hugo gave to me. But now, because I also put that in the first 20 years, there were going to be changes outside us. But that the last ones from 2012 to 2021, they had to be from our inside, because we were going to be in the worst part, like in the underworlds. And nowadays, people that read that say, okay, probably you didn't have the wrong count. Because actually the toughest time has been in the past years. And actually they are republishing that book in other many languages to give like the other perspective. And we are entering in a sun that is more, a lot more dreamy, and actually technology is making us live like a lot more like in a dream, where things happen immediately. And things are getting polarized, like I put in that book. The people that is going to live that dream through technology, and the people that is going to live it through spirituality. So we're making times. Like I said, it hasn't even started. The official start is in 2021.
Wow. Well, you're right. You were giving a much more specific and clear understanding than sort of the limited view that we received from our own so-called teachers, a lot of them following an archaeology that they didn't understand in the first place. So, yeah, I think that you're bringing great wisdom to us through your teachings and your writings. And can you tell me, what are the books that you've written since then? The Dawn of the Sixth Sun was your first book. What other books do you have?
The end, it came The Toltec Secret, that is dreaming practices of the ancient Mexicans, that is based a lot in the dream knowledge, how to sow dreams, how to interpret them, how to become lucid and like that. And the third one is called Caves of Power. That for the ancient, our unconsciousness, our inside, it was named the cave. So it's how to begin putting power in your inside. And there are techniques for healing, for rejuvenation, and for manifestation. And also some techniques like the Quetzalcoatl for the rising serpent and like that.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty amazing. And I'm going to remind people that Sergio Magaña is founder of Centro Energético Integral and author of The Dawn of the Sixth Sun. He is a well-known and respected healer who has been initiated into the 5,000-year-old Toltec lineage of Mesoamerica. He lives in Mexico City, but will be here in New York City the first week in February. And he has three separate events that you can participate in. On Friday, February 1st, from 10 a.m. till 5 p.m., is Energetic Healing of Mexico, psychic surgery, and the obsidian wand. That evening, February 1st, from 7 to 9 p.m., is Quetzalcoatl, the climbing serpent, kundalini energy to heal the chakras. And that's followed by a two-day workshop, Saturday and Sunday, February 2nd and 3rd, from 10 a.m. till 5 p.m., and it's called Palladian Initiation and the Eight Bands of Healing, Awakening the Powers of Manifestation and the Ability to Heal. So you can find out more by going to opencenter.org. It's right there on 30th and Madison in Manhattan, so you'll be able to reach there conveniently to participate in these upcoming events. And Sergio, as we are approaching this dawn of the sixth sun, and after 2021, things are going to be shifting. How are we going to be able to use some of these tools to navigate this new environment that we're living in?
I think all these tools are a lot more for the sixth sun. Because medicine and the responsibility to heal you comes back. So psychic surgeries and that is a way to be helping you and some of your family, sometimes where science says it's not possible. And the other is like a lot more, like we said, like an awal sun, that you go inside and to be using your dreams to create your reality instead of technology only. I am not against technology and like that, but to be using that and to create, to define yourself and to return to the ancient wisdom in which dreams were so important. I don't know where they lost importance. Because, for example, if you see in the Bible, everything happened in dreams. And like we said, in many, many cultures. So it's to recover that those things that were forgotten by modernity. To be used to create a mystic and a beautiful and happy life.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And we are just about out of time now. Is there any last thought you would like to share with our listeners?
Yeah. I hope to see them in New York. And if not, I hope to plant a seed in everyone, to begin looking in your inside, and to reconnect with the mother, with the earth, with the stars, and to look inside of yourself. You have all the answers there.
Excellent. That's a very, very beautiful way to finish up this interview. So thank you very much for joining us today on Heart of Mind. Bye for now.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.